the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and John Loeffler.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jim Poplava, and welcome to another edition of Lifetime Income.
And I'm John Loeffler. You know, the big news out of Washington is the GOP tax reform bill. Well, at least that's what it's called. That remains to be seen as to whether or not it really is doing some reform. But one thing is very, very sure. This has the potential to impact retirees in many major way, so it should get your attention. And the particular impact depends on where you live and how you earn your money. Now, the trend, it seems, in Washington is for every new president and every new Congress, they all want to get in there and tinker with the tax laws. And as a result of that, we have this giant thing called Treasury regulations and tax codes, which are a bewildering labyrinth of confusing things and very hard to understand. Republicans seem to want to get rid of the deductions this time. Democrats want to raise tax rates. You know, it doesn't seem that if you look at it, from us having looked at it, it doesn't seem that individuals do very well at all under this plan. It seems like it's more favored towards corporations and certain types of businesses. But here's the one thing you have to remember, and this is important. The tax laws are about to change, so you need to know what's happening.
And, you know, I was just thinking of your comment about Republicans get rid of deductions and Democrats raise tax rates. And that's certainly true. If you go back to the Reagan era, which was the last major reform in 1986, Reagan got rid of a lot of tax shelters, a lot of tax deductions in exchange for lower rates. But then George H. Bush and then Bill Clinton and then, of course, Obama raised tax rates. So let's look at what this bill does. First of all, two tax rates are actually raised. If you're in a 10% tax rate, you get bumped into the 12% bracket. And if you're in a 33% bracket, you get bumped into the 35% bracket. Two tax rates actually fall. The 15% rate drops to 12% and the 28% rate drops to 25%. Now, here's what they did do, and this is favorable. They raised the range in which these brackets kick in. Let me just give you an example. If you're single, the first $9,325 is taxed at 10%. Well, under this bill, you would get bumped up to a 12% rate, but that 12% rate would apply to $45,000. Next, under the current law, the 25% tax rate starts at $91,900. That would basically go to the $200,000. So actually, they are raising that up. And so there's some big rate changes that are happening. What they're doing, John, is they're getting rid of a couple rates. Two rates go up, two rates go down. And then, of course, they're keeping the 39.6% rate. Now, depending on your income, there is an actual stealth fifth rate that could bump you up to 46%. We'll get to that in just a moment. Now, if you're married, the range on the first 12% goes up to $90,000. So that would help a lot of families out because the 10% bracket right now is only up to $18,650. The 15% bracket is up at $75,900. The 25% tax bracket would start at basically up to $260,000 versus $153,000 today. So there would be a big, big break there. The 28% bracket gets lowered to the 25%, and the 33% bracket gets bumped to the 35% bracket, but it's basically on income of over $260,000. So a big, big break there in terms of what is happening.
So they're keeping four brackets with a possible bubble bracket. Maybe we'll get to a little more on that in just a second here. But are there some favorable things being done in how these brackets are being rearranged? I mean, I'm trying to be fair here.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to look at the middle class, and let's take a look at income of, let's say, up to $200,000. You know, the 10% bracket, if you're single today, is only on the first $9,300. Then you go up to a 15% bracket on $37,950. Then you go up to a 25% bracket on $91,900. and a 28% bracket on $191,650. Well, if you look at what they've done, they only have two brackets if you're single. 12% on the first $45,000, and then 25% all the way up to $200,000. So they're raising the brackets. Likewise, if you're married, you have a 10% bracket on $18,650, 15% bracket up to $75,900, 25% bracket on $153,100, and a 28% bracket on $233,350. Now, under the Republican proposal, the first $90,000 would be taxed at 12%, and then everything else would be taxed at 25% up to $260,000. So they're raising the brackets in which those rates kick in. So there's where you're getting a bit of a help.
But this whole change eliminates a lot of itemized deductions. And, you know, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show here, everything is so complex. It's very hard. It's like a shell game. Everybody's having a hard time figuring out what the ultimate consequences would be. And what it seems is they're taking away your deductions on one side while changing the brackets on the other. And it's almost offsetting it and then setting you up for higher tax rates in the future.
Well, and that's where they come back and get you, because it eliminates most itemized deductions. Let's just cover each one of them. Medical deductions, they would be gone. They would do away with them. Property and casualty deductions, they would be gone. Miscellaneous deductions, they get rid of those. State taxes, gone completely. Property taxes, greatly reduced. And mortgage interest, greatly reduced. So it really depends, John, on where you live. This bill is not uniform. It's going to impact individual investors much differently depending on where you live.
Okay, so now they raised the standard deduction from $6,000 to $12,000. That's if you're single, by the way. From $12,000 to $24,000 if you're married. But again, Jim, we've got this issue here. They give with one hand and they take away, because you're losing your personal exemption. So the average family of four loses $16,200 in exemptions, and then they raise the standard deduction. But if you eliminate the exemptions, it's like a trade. There's no gain here.
It is. And once again, John, see, this is not uniform. It really depends on where you live. But the main things that are impacting retirees are the elimination of medical expenses, the reduction of the home mortgage and property taxes, and the elimination of the state income tax deduction. And so if you're living in a tax-free state, that's not as big of an issue. But also, it really is going to impact where you live. For example, in California, where homes are expensive, this standard medium home in Los Angeles and San Diego is close to $600,000, where it's over $1 million when you get to San Francisco. So once again, it depends on where you live.
Well, they say they're simplifying the tax. I don't buy that, especially because a lot of this rests on where you live. And I'm not sure if we can do this. Can we get to some kind of particulars?
Well, yeah, sure. Depending on where you live is probably the most important aspect of this tax bill and how it will impact you. So let's begin with a couple of items. First of all, we begin with a mortgage deduction. Now, right now, under the current law, you can deduct the interest on a mortgage up to $1 million and a second mortgage of $100,000. So basically, $1.1 million. Under this bill, it reduces the deductibility of mortgage interest down to $500,000. So depending on where you live and if you have a mortgage is how this will impact you directly. If you live in a high tax state or a very expensive state to live, like New York, New Jersey, California, you know, this definitely is going to impact you because the cost of living is very high in those states, along with property taxes we'll get to in a minute. So if you own an expensive home with a big mortgage, you may lose part of your interest deduction. Now, another item that is related to your home is the reduction of the property tax to only $10,000. And John, there are several states that have 2.5% to 3% property tax rates. And if you own a $500,000 home with the 3% property tax rate, there's $15,000 right there. So you would lose $5,000 because they would cap it at $10,000. So the combination of mortgage interest reduction and property tax reduction would really impact homeowners. In fact, the Wall Street Journal did an article talked about how this could impact real estate values, especially in populous states with high taxes. And so they're saying that the realtor and home builders are vowing to fight this tooth and nail because obviously, you know, what makes it easy to buy a house in a very expensive, high cost of living state like California is you deduct your state taxes, you deduct your property taxes, and you deduct your mortgage interest. Well, if those things are taken away or dramatically reduced, it really makes it harder for people to qualify. So this could really hurt the real estate market. And they don't realize this, which a lot of people are surprised given the fact that President Trump, most of his wealth is in real estate.
Now, what about the elimination of state taxes? And I'm assuming that the location is going to be critical depending on how much tax you're paying in the state you're in, because that affects your federal. So what about the elimination of both the state and the property taxes as a deduction on the federal tax form? And of course, that is going to be heavily, as far as how much you lose out of this, dependent on the state and locality where you live.
And that's absolutely true. As I mentioned, this bill impacts people differently depending on where they live and, of course, you know, the type of home that they own. Let's just take, for example, the high tax states. California, my own state, tops the list. Its tax rate is 13.3%. Oregon comes in next at a 9.9% rate. Minnesota, 9.85%. Iowa, 8.98%. New Jersey, 8.97%. Vermont, 8.95%. Washington, D.C., 8.95%. New York, 8.82%. And there's about five states in the 8% range. So if you are a taxpayer living in those states, and you're probably living in an area that's pretty expensive, like California, Minnesota, New Jersey, Vermont, in New York. Now let's look at property taxes because they can get considerable. In New Jersey, the average property tax rate is 2.38, so that's the highest. Illinois is 2.32. New Hampshire is 2.15. Connecticut, 1.98. Wisconsin, 1.96. Texas, which has no income tax, has high property taxes with an average rate of 1.9. And I know there's a couple areas in Texas that have 3% rates. Nebraska is 1.84. Michigan, 1.78. Vermont, 1.71. And Rhode Island, 1.67. So these 10 states, whether you're looking at income tax rates like California or New York, or you're looking at property taxes like New Jersey and Illinois, John, if you live in those states, have an expensive home, or you earn income and pay a lot of estate taxes, you're going to be impacted by this.
Okay, what about some of the other reductions?
The other thing they got rid of, and this is sort of a big one for retirees, especially as they age and their medical bills mount. And right now, you can deduct medical expenses if they exceed 10% of your adjusted gross income. That's the figure on the bottom of your front page of your tax return. Now, why that's important, many retirees incur high medical expenses in the later years, especially if you get into a situation requiring long-term care. I have several clients in long-term care facilities where the monthly expenses could be $6,000 and $7,000. In California, it's more like $7,000 or $8,000. And you know, you take $6,000 to $7,000 per month, these are deductible expenses that you can use to reduce your taxes, which helps seniors. Now they're going to lose their ability to deduct those medical expenses. And so, you know, the ability to write the medical expense off on your tax return lessens the burden depending on your tax rates. So, John, these are some of the big ones that are out there. And it's really surprising how this is going to impact a lot of individuals. Like I said, this tax bill, and the devil is in the detail. We're finding out more and more that this is not a favorable tax bill for individuals. You know, they talk about the simplification of the tax bill with the postcard. And, you know, they go, hey, look, we're going to simplify this and you can put and file your taxes on a postcard. Well, there's a reason It's a postcard. They're taking away all your itemized deductions. And what's to stop another administration, like you said, John? Republicans get rid of your deductions, Democrats raise your tax rates. So what happens if we get rid of our deductions under a Republican president, but the next president is a Democrat and he raises tax rates? Then you're really getting the shaft here. So this is not a tax-friendly bill to a lot of people, especially those that live in the high-tax states in this country. And there's about 15 of them there, and there's about 15 with high property taxes. So not a good thing.
Okay, so I got some questions here. If we look at what's happening here as far as individuals are concerned, number one, we know they're changing the tax rates and the brackets. You're losing medical deductions. You're going to lose state deductions, and they're going to reduce the mortgage interest you can deduct and reduce property tax deduction. Now, how does this affect estate planning or retirement planning?
Well, let's begin with a couple of things that are pretty obvious. If you live in a high tax state, in an expensive place to live like California or New York, the best advice I can give you is to move, because this is going to impact you. California has a taxpayer exodus, John, right now with companies and individuals. If this bill passes, they say this is going to accelerate. Last year, we lost 100,000 taxpayers, 2,000 companies over the last couple of years. And so you take our tax rates of 13.3%. Various places in San Diego County, the tax rates can run as high as close to 2%. So this is putting the state in danger of a fiscal crisis, the next recession. In fact, we did a show on the weekend show on the state of the states, and Moody ranked the 50 states in three categories. It's kind of like a stoplight. Green states were in good shape. Yellow states could get themselves in trouble. And California was one or two steps below red states, which would incur a fiscal crisis. And if this bill goes through, that's very well what you could see happen to California. You know, it's amazing, because I would say, John, probably between 30 and 40% of the individuals that we do plans for are either considering moving to another state. Some of them have. In fact, we have done a lot of plans where individuals moved to Texas, Arizona, Nevada, where the cost of living is cheaper and the tax rates are either non-existent or very low, like they are in Arizona. So this is going to be a very important element in planning for retirement, because if we get into another recession, as Moody's was talking about, one of the problems many of these states have run into is they've increased the progressive tax rates up at the top. So the state is more reliant on fewer and fewer taxpayers for their tax revenues. My own state of California is dependent on 20% of capital gains tax revenues to pay its budget. Well, if you go into recession, that means a bear market. In the last recession, 20% revenues dropped down to 4% for the state of California. So this definitely is going to make a difference. But regarding the other issues, in terms of medical, there are three things that are very important. Number one, if you are on Medicare, make sure you have good Medigap insurance and you are putting aside savings for future medical expenses that will begin to accelerate as you get older. Number two, if longevity runs in your family, it would behoove you to buy long-term care with an inflation rider early on. If you could get it in your 50s or early 60s, it's going to make a world of difference, because you don't want to find yourself in your late 70s, 80s, or maybe in your 90s. You go into long-term care facility because you have dementia or Alzheimer's. And right now, where it's deductible, if this law passes, it will no longer be deductible. And number three, an issue that we cover here on Lifetime Income frequently, is take care of your health. That's why we have doctors on the programs. We have authors of some of the best diets out there to help lower blood pressure, cholesterol, and other items to keep you very healthy. So those are, I would say, the main thing that I would focus on. So from a planning perspective, high tax, high cost of living state, it may make sense to move elsewhere. And then in medical, make sure you have good insurance and long-term care insurance if longevity runs in your family.
Anything else we haven't covered, Jim, here? As I mentioned earlier, these things are pretty complex, and it's hard to follow the P under the shell game.
Well, the one good thing is they got rid of the AMT tax. That's sort of the gotcha tax where, you know, basically they subtract your deductions and other things. And it put a lot of middle-class families in the 28% bracket. So they got rid of AMT because they no longer need it. If you're going to eliminate all the things that people get to deduct on your tax return, it would be silly to keep the AMT tax. And I guess if you are Larry Lots of Bucks, there's an opportunity to do some estate planning because they raised the estate exemption from $5.5 million roughly to $11.2 million. So if you have a family business, which is most of your wealth, or a family farm or a ranch where you own a lot of land that's worth a lot, you may not be getting a lot of income from it, but the assets are worth the estate planning that will be available for you to take advantage. That would be a good thing. You could shelter your estate from government confiscation at death.
It's obvious that a lot of people are going to have their effective taxes go up because of the removal of a lot of these deductions. Now, what about tax-free bonds?
You know, you're already seeing this with tax-free bonds rallying under this bill, because here's the thing, and this is, once again, the devil you know versus the devil you don't. And the devil is in the details. This is really a stealth tax, because we actually have a fifth rate. It's called the bubble rate of 45.6%, not the 39.6. And the way that happens is if you are in a higher tax bracket, what they do is they come back and say, you know, that $90,000 that was taxed at 12%, we're going to remove that $90,000 from being taxed at 12%, and we're going to level a 39.6% tax on it. The impact of that is it'll increase your tax bracket by 6%, so it'll move you to a 45.6% bracket. Then on top of that, because they haven't repealed Obamacare, you still have the 3.8% Obamacare tax. So now you're in a 49.4% bracket. And if you live in my state of California, where you're subject to 13.3% on state taxes, you know, John, that would take you to 62.7%. So basically, the government has taken over 60% of your income. And one way to shelter part of that, if you're dependent on, let's say, investment income, would be to go into tax-free bonds. You know, they haven't touched that except for billionaires who would use tax-free financing to build their sports stadiums like NFL owners. They did do away with that.
Coming up tomorrow on the program, Yolanda York from the Social Security Administration. It's Medicare sign-up time. Any changes, any things that we need to know? And that'll be tomorrow on the program as Yolanda York is Jim's guest. Coming up now is our real-life case study. As with all of our case studies, remember, this is an hypothetical illustration based on real-life examples. Names and circumstances have been changed, and we do have slides online at financialsense.com which illustrate the points that are being made here.
And I want to point out, John, and just as a promo for Yolanda York tomorrow, they are doing away with the Social Security number on your Medicare card. You are going to get a new 11-12-digit number for Medicare beginning next year. And this has to do with all the hacking that has happened with government. And so, you know, we heard about Equifax getting hacked, so they have access to your Social Security number. Social Security has been hacked, so they're coming up with a new number, and they're getting rid of the Social Security number. So in the meantime, let's go to our case study. This week, we have Matt and Emily Curtis. Matt is age 62. Emily is age 64. They both hope to retire in 1 to 2 years. Their life expectancy for both Matt and Emily are aged 95. Their risk tolerance is moderate. A little bit of color, Matt is treasurer. He's worked for his local city government as treasurer for many years. He's long enjoyed his job, but is considering the prospect of retirement. He's also managed the household finances and currently worried about taxes being a California resident, especially in the planning process, we start talking about, you know, a possibility that we could lose our state tax and property tax deduction. And of course, like anybody retired, he's worried about outliving his assets. He's open to the idea of moving, which I told him, I said, look, you know, one way to get out of this tax situation that you're in California would be moving to another state. Emily, in the meantime, is a paralegal. She's been a paralegal for 20 years and is passionate about her job. She really enjoys it, but she's mostly anxious about the high cost of California and is concerned whether they have done enough to save for retirement. She would prefer to stay close to the family, but also wants to spend time traveling extensively and is kind of wondering, how can we afford to do all these things when we live in such a high cost of living state and we pay high taxes here, both property taxes, sales taxes, income taxes, you name it. In California, we pay a high rate. On a risk basis, their current risk score was 3. They were surprised to see that on a risk basis, their portfolio was 6, twice as risky as who they were personally. Some of the things that we were looking at, managing expenses, allocation, and mitigating taxes, which is a big problem for anybody that lives in California. You move or breathe, we tax it. Looking at their budget, $93,000 for essentials, $57,000 for discretionary, roughly about $160,000. Matt's salary was $158,000. Emily's was $35,000. So they had surplus roughly of $33,000. They didn't think if they stayed in California, there would be too much of a reduction in their budget. Essentials would go from 93 to 90, and discretionary would be roughly a reduced, maybe about $5,000. Matt's pension would be $52,000. Combined Social Security would be $51,000. So there would be a shortfall of $39,000. Their primary residence was close to $700,000. Matt's retirement investments were $380,000. Emily's was larger, $460,000. Checking and savings, they had roughly about $95,000 in cash, a little over $900,000. Their liabilities were about $115,000, which was on their house. Their total net worth, roughly about $1.5 million. Now, the big issue for them was managing the high cost of living in California and mitigating the impact of taxes, because, you know, it's like anything you get. If you get money from a pension, you get money that you pull out of a retirement plan, it's 100% taxable. So they were going to remain in a fairly high tax bracket because pension and Social Security, 85% of their Social Security would be taxable and 100% of their pensions. So they wanted to be able to retire. They wanted to be able to live and do a lot of things that they were hoping to do, but were worried would they have enough money. So if we take a look at what we did, is we moved most of their assets were in index funds, especially in Emily's 401k program, and Matt's was pretty much the same. It's kind of like anybody else. You join a company, you set up a 401k plan. They haven't looked at their asset allocation in well over a decade. So we moved them into a balanced account with between fixed income and dividend payers. That would produce roughly about $30,000 of income. So their total income during retirement would be $132,680, less a budget of $111,000. They would have a surplus of $21,000. What we did as part of our strategy is we recommend they wanted to move to Montana, of all places, which has no taxes, and they were considering moving there. They have friends there. They go there on vacations. And this would substantially lower their state and their property tax deductions. And they didn't mind the cold weather temperatures there because they could always, like anybody else, it's just like people that live in Arizona during the summers, you take off, you travel. And same thing with people that live in cold climates, they vacation. So the idea was to move to Montana. Also, by selling the home in California and buying a home in Montana, it would lower their expenses, given their cost of living in Montana would be much, much lower than California. Selling the home in California also would provide another $300,000 or $400,000 that could be invested, and they would have a free and clear home versus a home with a small mortgage, a little over $100,000. The home would be free and clear. It would free up some capital that they had in their home. And a leaving California allowed them to live the lifestyle that they want to live. It would allow and provide them that extra money. You know, I don't need to tell you, if you're doing traveling, most trips today, if you're going to be gone for a week or two, go to Europe, you're going to Asia, you know, you can spend easily between $16,000 and $20,000, depending on the kind of travel that you do. So this is something that was a major part. And they said, you know what, that would allow them. And here's a thing that we're seeing a lot of people that have moved to Arizona. By eliminating the taxes and the expenses, they said during the winter months, we could come to California and rent a place for the winter and spend time with family and friends and then go back to Montana. And that's what lowering taxes would do. Basically, as Matt was saying, he goes, you know, what we would save in taxes would pay for our vacations. And we also diversified their assets. It just didn't make a lot of sense to have almost 70, 80% of their portfolio in the stock market, especially when you're nearing retirement. So, John, this is one couple, and I can tell you right now, they are moving to Montana, and especially given what's going to happen if this Republican tax bill goes through, which would really harm a lot of California residents and homeowners.
Very good, Jim. And coming up again tomorrow, Yolanda York, it's Medicare sign-up time. Important to see if there are any changes and things that you might need to be doing with your Medicare. Not to forget, as Jim mentioned before, the fact that your Medicare number is not going to be tied to your Social Security number in the very, very near future. They're going to issue new cards with new numbers that are totally unrelated to it, given to all of the fraud related to Social Security numbers. Coming up in the future, what are you planning on covering, Jim, here on the show?
You know, I think we're going to have to stick with this tax bill. You know, the goal right now, who knows if they're going to make it, they want to get this on the president's desk by Thanksgiving. And so now it's going through the sausage factory. It's going through the House committee. Well, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of lobbying efforts by especially these high tax states or high property tax states. The real estate industry and the building industry is in there because, boy, you should have seen the way home builder stocks were whacked last week as a result of this. So we're probably going to stick with that because we're finding out more and more details. For example, not being able to deduct interest on student loans. So there's all kinds of things that were coming out. The bubble tax rate that I just talked about, where they eliminate the $90,000 taxed at 12% and then turn around and tax you at 39.6, combined with Obamacare, which could put you in the 96.4% bracket. So we're going to stick with that as we find out more details that come out of this bill. It was about 450 pages long, so there's a lot of stuff in there that's going to impact a lot of people, because this isn't kind of like one of those universal tax bills where they just say, hey, we're going to reduce the tax rates. This applies to everybody. That's not the way this bill is being constructed. It impacts people so differently depending on where you live. And that's why we're going to be covering this in the weeks ahead to make sure that you're informed, or you might want to write your congressman. In the meantime, on behalf of John Loeffler and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us here on Lifetime Income. Until you and I talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week.
You can subscribe to Financial Sense NewsHour in the iTunes and BlackBerry podcast libraries or at feeds.feedburner.com/FSM. Find more information about our guests at www.financialsense.com/newshour. Friend us at www.facebook.com/financialsenseonline. For our on-the-go listeners, you can access Financial Sense on your mobile device at m.financialsense.com. The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of James Poplava and do not take into account listeners' suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense NewsHour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertising with Financial Sense, or arising out of the use of any material on the NewsHour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.